You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 26th of May, 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we finally heard from Dominic Cummings yesterday, and he showed that the newspapers had been lying about him. And they're still lying about him today. The Daily Mail, the Mirror, the Guardian, they're still going for him, and this has got to be the biggest case of the tail trying to wag the dog that I've ever seen in Britain. I mean, I've had it pointed out to me that this regularly goes on in America with the media lying about Donald Trump and trying to stir up hysteria against him. But this is the most extreme time that I've ever seen it happen in Britain. Yesterday, Dominic Cummings was the top hashtag in Britain, but the second hashtag was scum media, because that's what they are. They are absolute scum, the way that they are behaving. They're breaking all the rules themselves. I mean, the man, it just seems to me that he did the sensible thing. If he was going to be incapacitated with the virus, obviously he's going to want somebody that's going to look after his small child. And obviously you want your family to do that. I think anybody in the same position that he was in would have done exactly what he did and gone to, if they'd been able to, which luckily he was, is to go and stay at your parents' farm, so where there's an outhouse. So it just seems to me to be, well, it obviously is just a way for the press to try and attack Cummings and try and get him to be forced out of government. And it's quite a serious situation, because obviously the government know that he hasn't done anything wrong and they obviously want to keep him on. But the press are refusing to discuss anything else. Even the BBC. On the Andrew Marr show on Sunday, they had Grant Shapps on there, who was supposed to be talking about transport. He's the transport secretary. And for 20 minutes, Andrew Marr just attacked him about Dominic Cummings. I mean, what do you do when the media refuse to stop going after someone? I mean, it's just breathtaking, the audacity that they have in thinking that they can dictate government policy. And it's just absolutely disgusting. And since he gave this press conference yesterday, Sky Media are now knocking on his parents' house. They're doorstepping his parents, which is obviously why he didn't say where he was, because he already gets his own home is being attacked. When he walks home, he's got his neighbours out there shouting all these ludicrous things at him, like, oh, I wasn't able to see my family, I'm not able to see my grandparents. Well, he wasn't able to go to his uncle's funeral. He didn't see his uncle before he died because he was keeping the rules. And he kept to the rules here. It's not like he was in his parents' house, or he was in an outbuilding, a farm outbuilding. And he didn't get closer than 50 feet to his parents. I mean, people can see their parents on Skype or FaceTime or whatever video app they decide to use. People can see their parents at any time. The fact that he drove to somewhere safe to quarantine himself which is obviously not going to be in London, is it? London is his place of work. He's gone to home. But the fact is, today you've got Sky Media doorstepping him. And the reason why they do stuff like that is because they want to encourage the public to do more. They want the public to form a pitchfork mob and help them in their campaign to get him removed from his position as an advisor in government. And the reason for it is that he's blamed entirely for Brexit, because he masterminded the Leave campaign, and he's also got a reputation for not being politically correct and being a bit of a race realist as well, to be honest. But one thing that hasn't really been given much coverage is that whilst he was in quarantine, and whilst Boris Johnson was actually ill with the coronavirus, the traitors in government were trying to rush through a delay to Brexit. Boris Johnson's under fire chief advisor Dominic Cummings squashed a plan to delay Britain's true Brexit day, which was all but agreed, while he and the Prime Minister were laid out on their sickbeds. A deal to extend the transition in light of the pandemic had been all but agreed at official level, reported Jeremy Warner, the Remain voting assistant editor of the Daily Telegraph, in an article published earlier this month. The EU was to have spared the UK's blushes by proposing it, rather than the other way around. This would have allowed the UK government to present the concession as a favour to the EU, rather than a climb down, he explained. But then Dominic Cummings, the Prime Minister's chief advisor, returned, and the plan concocted by underlings while he and Boris Johnson were laid out on their sickbeds was scuppered, he lamented. And this is the reason why the mainstream media is going after him. And I think it's really highlighting to people just what twisted liars they are, and just how they manipulate public opinion to drive their own agenda. They're supposed to represent public opinion. They're not supposed to direct it. And this is really highlighting it. There's still a fear that he might still step down, but I hope he doesn't. I really hope he doesn't. And I hope that, I hope he gets his vengeance. I hope he gets his revenge on the mainstream media, possibly by taking away the license fee from the BBC. Or refusing to allow access to people like Boris Johnson when they want to interview him. The mainstream media have already complained that he has prevented them from talking to ministers. So, yeah, we'll just have to keep following this. And hopefully they'll stop talking about it, because I'm getting sick of it. It's just on the BBC News, rolling news, all the time. That's all they are talking about. And there are far more important things that we should be discussing. Anyway, I've got a bit of good news here as well that's been hidden by all this. A Labour MP fired from the shadow government by Jeremy Corbyn for calling out Pakistani heritage rapists targeting white girls will help review a government report into the ethnic background of grooming gangs. Sarah Champion, MP for the rape gang blighted town of Rotherham, Yorkshire, will help to review a government report into the characteristics of grooming gangs, which have repeatedly been found to be made up overwhelmingly of Muslim men, usually of Pakistani heritage, victimising overwhelmingly non-Muslim girls, usually white working class. Well, this is great, because she's been really sort of ostracised by the government for quite a while. She was brave enough to speak out about this a couple of years back, and she's just the sort of person you would want to be on this this government review panel, rather than people on the left that are likely to remove parts of it and censor parts of it. Champion was one of the few figures on the political left to call for the racial elements of the grooming gangs phenomenon to be confronted. Elements which saw the crimes ignored by police, social workers, and other authority figures for years because they feared being accused of racism if they tackled them. And they also said that the main reason for them not investigating this was because it would confirm what the so-called far right had been saying. So it doesn't matter if it's the truth. If it's something that people that have been designated as far right are talking about, then they have to do all they can to prevent that from being confirmed, even if it means that thousands of girls end up being raped. And it's the same with crime and the link with IQ. They won't address that because it's something that people on the supposed far right talk about. Britain has a problem with British Pakistani men raping and exploiting white girls. There, I said it. Does that make me a racist? Or am I just prepared to call out this horrifying problem for what it is? Champion wrote in an article for the Right-Leaning Sun in 2017. And according to a lot of people, that yes, that does make you a racist for pointing that out. And this highlights the problem with this term racism. It means that you can't speak the truth about things. It's like the term politically correct in itself. By the very nature of the words politically correct, it means it's not correct. It's politically correct. So it's not actually correct. They're admitting that it's not the truth in the very term itself. If we want to really face up to the problems that we have in society, then we have to do away with words like racist, because that's all it is used for, is to silence people from talking about problems like this one. And she's realizing this, I think. For too long, we have ignored the race of these abusers, and worse, tried to cover it up. No more. These people are predators, and the common denominator is their ethnic heritage. We have to have grown-up conversations, she pleaded. And I'm not sure whether it's ethnic heritage. I think she's right to talk about the race there, but it's a combination of race and religion. I'm not sure the ethnic heritage plays that much of a role, because in Britain it may be Pakistanis that are doing it, in Holland it will be Moroccans that are doing it, in Finland it will be Somalians that are doing it. So you can't say that they've all got the same ethnic heritage. They are all of similar race. I mean, you could say that they're all non-white races, because some of them are black races and some of them are just non-white races. They all happen to be Muslim, but in these countries where this sort of thing goes on, whether they're Muslim or Christian, it goes on in Africa. But it does seem that there is more of a problem with this, with Muslim communities in particular. We've had instances of Muslims raping Sikhs in India and raping Hindus. So it's a combination of their race and their religion, I believe. But this report was specifically supposed to be looking into ethnicity. Evidently, then party leader Jeremy Corbyn did not agree with her, swiftly firing her from the front bench role in his shadow administration. And by doing that, he showed that he was on the side of the rapists. He didn't want the rapists to be investigated. He didn't want the fact that they were all British Pakistani men. He didn't think that that was a factor that needed to be investigated, or the fact that all the victims were white girls. So he's part of the problem. He is continuing with this mentality that we should just cover this up and we shouldn't talk about it. Corbyn's supposedly more moderate successor, Sir Keir Starmer, has not rehired her. Indeed, he recently promoted an Asian heritage MP who once liked and shared a tweet saying, "Abused girls in Rotherham and elsewhere just need to shut their mouths for the good of diversity." And he's promoted her to being his shadow minister for community cohesion. Now, this MP is Naz Shah, and she's again she's very anti-white, she's pro-Muslim, she tries to find Islamophobia everywhere, and yet when it's white people that are being abused, when it's white people that are being racially abused, they just need to shut their mouths for the good of diversity. Yet if there's any criticism of Islam out there, she'll be screaming about Islamophobia. There's no equality between these victim narratives. There's no equality between this political correctness. It is all just for the minorities. And when anybody speaks up about white people and the issues that face white people, then we're accused of being racist. And we lose our jobs, as Sarah Champion did. When you look at the convictions of what are identified as grooming gangs in the media, by far the majority of perpetrators are of Pakistani heritage, Champion said of her new role on the report panel in comments reported by the Times. Now, this is great, because what this tells us is that Sarah Champion has not recanted from her piece that she wrote in The Sun. She has stood by what she was saying. So it's not like she's repented of what she's done and she's not going to be talking about this anymore. She is still hammering home this point. We've had two big reports into Rotherham, which both identify Pakistani heritage as being a common denominator, she continued. I understand the nervousness people have around race. This is about child protection and crimes against children. You should follow the evidence, regardless of who they are. And she's being very brave there, just even mentioning the term race. It's arguable whether you're going to get more castigation talking about race or talking about religion. She hasn't even mentioned religion here. She's just really taking the bull by the horns and talking about it being a racial problem. And it is a racial problem. As I say, it's very common in non-white and black countries. It's not a phenomena that we used to hear very much about happening in the West at all, until we had all this immigration, until we started importing these people that have rape as an acceptable part of their culture. And it is an acceptable part of their culture. If you go to Saudi Arabia and a woman reports that she's been raped, it's the woman who will get the prison sentence. As we heard the other day about the judges in Pakistan, if a non-Muslim girl is kidnapped and abducted, then the Muslim courts will say, well, that's okay, she's now his wife. And therefore, the woman who didn't want to be abducted, didn't want to have to marry the Muslim male, then has to put up with being raped every day. So rape is an accepted part of these cultures, particularly these Muslim cultures. I couldn't say so much about black cultures, as I say, because you do get rape that just happens a lot in Africa, whether they are Christian or whether they are Muslim. But the idea of groups of men trafficking white girls, that is something that is associated with the worst aspects of Islam. And it's something that goes back centuries with the Muslim pirates that used to come to Europe and kidnap white women and take them back to Tunisia and Algiers and sell them as sex slaves. I wonder if this report is going to look at the instances of this happening in history, or whether it is going to pretend that this is just something that's happened completely out of the blue. We need to put this issue to bed once and for all, she says. Ethnicity might not be a determining factor, but the issue needs to be investigated and the research made public. I mean, maybe she is confusing race with ethnicity there. Ethnicity is a little bit more specific than race. I mean, you could talk about blacks as being a race, but Somalian, Kenyan, Congolese, they are all different ethnicities. Although the people themselves, you would say, are all black. Or if you wanted to be biologically specific, you could say that they are all Negro. While the courts, the mainstream media, and other establishment institutions have been forced in recent years to begin lifting the lid on the grooming gangs epidemic, at least somewhat, they are still not treated as hate crimes. with judges claiming that they are not racially motivated. And it's not, I mean, when you think about it, what's gone on over the last week with claims of these grooming gangs operating in Barrow, with evidence of a young white girl who's been seriously battered by them, backed up by evidence from six or seven other girls that say that they've been trafficked and raped and abused. And when you realise that the police are saying they've arrested this girl for perverting the course of justice, and the people that are alleged to have carried this out have been given police protection, then you can see that nothing's been done about this. The government may have talked about it and said, oh yes, we're going to ensure that children are protected now. But the facts are that what's actually happening on the ground is that this is still going on. The Rotherham report, I believe, was back in 2014, 6 years ago, 6 years ago. And it's still going on in the country today, and it's still being covered up. And they are still using the so-called far right as their excuse for not doing anything about it. That was their excuse for not actually producing this report in the first place, is that they didn't want to give ammunition to the far right. And now that 125,000 people signed a petition saying they wanted to see this report, the government have been forced into saying that they are going to show it. So things haven't changed that much. They may have had a few court cases that they've tried to hide that haven't actually been mainstream news, that they've had D notices on so that the newspapers couldn't report on them. And these people that carried this out, they haven't been deported. As we talked about the other week on one of the Radio Albion podcasts, there were three of these rapists that Theresa May said she was going to deport, and Amber Rudd said that she was going to deport, and they are still walking around the town of Rochester, bumping into their victims in the supermarket, when the victims have been told that they were going to be deported. And the victims were also told that these animals were going to be given long prison sentences, and yet they're out already walking around supermarkets in Rochester with small children. How they can be allowed to be around small children, I just don't know. So, though it says here that they're lifting the lid on the grooming gang's epidemic, they may have lifted the lid up a little bit, but it seems to me as if they put it straight back down again and are trying to cover it up again. This is despite the fact members of the gangs have verbally abused their victims and others in racial terms, with one having told a female official that white women are good for only one thing, for people like me to F and use as trash. That is all women like you are worth. And that's not one of these victims saying to the police that this is what they said to me. That is one of the accused talking to a female official. And every one of these victims have said that they were racially abused by the attackers, that they were religiously abused, that they would recite the Quran to them, they would justify what they are doing through verses from the Quran. They would even say that the very fact that the police would do nothing about it shows that Allah has willed this to happen. And this is the way they see it. They know full well that these hate speech laws are just there to protect them from criticism. They know that we've got laws in this country that are being used to prevent the victims of these crimes from speaking up about it. I mean, how does that make us look as a people to these newcomers? The fact that we elevate them above our own people, and we make laws to try and prevent us from criticizing them. It's like just giving them a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's like giving them a pass. You got a pass in Britain. You can go out and rape whoever you like. And don't worry about getting into trouble over it. The police will just arrest the person you have just raped. Exactly the same as it is in Saudi Arabia. I mean, there's no difference, is there? If you report that you've been raped in Saudi Arabia, you're the one that gets locked up. If you're this girl Ellie from Barrow and you report that you've been raped in Britain by Muslims, you're the one that gets locked up. Whatever happened to this believe all women hashtag? Quite clearly don't believe all women if they are alleging that the attacker is non-white. Well, I've got another story that I'd like to get into today, and this basically confirms what we were talking about on Friday. I had Grandpa Lampshade on the show, and we were talking about the disparity between white and blacks with the coronavirus, and how they're blaming white people for the fact that blacks are more susceptible to actually getting this virus. And what Grandpa was pointing out is that in actual fact, more of them are in hospital than whites, which shows that there is no disparity in the healthcare system. There is no, we're not going to treat you because you're black. There are actually more black people that are in the hospital than there are white people. So they can't say that there are these huge disparities in healthcare. The disparity is in actual fact the opposite way around. And that's what this this study has found. This study has found that three times as many blacks are in hospital with this than whites. So they're getting three times as much treatment as whites. So it's not, the system is not being racist against them. Black coronavirus patients in the US are being hospitalized much more often in comparison with other races, a new study suggests. Researchers from the California-based healthcare system, Sutter Health, found that African Americans were being admitted at nearly three times the rate of white and Hispanic patients. Now, if this was the other way around, I'm sure that the blacks would be saying, we're not being admitted into hospital. Three times as many white people are being admitted into hospital with this. This is the reason why we're dying of the virus. But it's not. It's the other way around. Three times as many blacks are being admitted into hospital than whites. And they're still complaining that it's racism and that this is somehow leading to more of them dying of the virus. What's more, black patients were more than twice as likely to be transferred to intensive care units once hospitalized compared to white patients. And that's the most expensive treatment that you can get, is going into intensive care. The team suggests that despite having insurance, black COVID-19 patients may not be tested or seek medical care until it is an emergency that requires hospitalization. So what they're saying there is, it's actually black people's own fault, isn't it? If they've got insurance and they are quite able to go into the hospital and get treatment, then why are they not going into the hospital to get treatment? I mean, I could suggest a reason for it, possibly because they've been told that the healthcare system is racist against them in some way. So maybe that's why they're not going into the hospital, because the mainstream media have told them that the hospitals are racist. Something's stopping them from going in there, but it's certainly not white people, is it? Because once they're brought in there, they're welcomed in by the whites, and they're given the best treatment. The COVID-19 pandemic has ripped a band-aid off all the structural inequities that exist within our system. We must address these disparities right away before the cost of not addressing them is measured in human life, Dr. Stephen Lockhart, Chief Medical Officer at Sutter Health, said in a statement. Well, he should know better, shouldn't he, as a doctor? I mean, how can this be the cause of structural inequities that exist within the society when blacks are being treated more than whites in the hospital? The structural inequity there is that blacks are getting better treatment than white people. He says, with lives on the line, we as a state can and should do better in connecting minority patients to culturally competent care. What do they mean by that? Culturally competent care? Are they saying that they need to have black doctors here? Is that what they mean by culturally competent? They just don't want to go into the hospital because there's lots of white faces in there? I'm sure that if they were being treated by black doctors and we saw a high rate of incompetence, which is what we do see with these foreign doctors, they would still be blaming white people for it. They would be saying, you're not sending in the best doctors. You're not sending in the best doctors. I mean, what this really shows is it doesn't matter what the statistics show. They are always going to be trying to find something that they can blame white people for. It's the same with the David Lammy report that shows that black people are far more crime prone than whites. And yet the conclusions they get from that report is that the judges must somehow be being racist, and the judges have to be told that they shouldn't be jailing so many blacks. But the report shows that blacks are more likely to commit crime, and this report shows that blacks are more likely to get treatment in a hospital. Yet somehow it's still racist. It still shows structural inequities that exist within our society. And I expect we'll see exactly the same thing from the reports that are being done into this in Britain. They will show that there are more blacks being admitted into hospital with this virus, and they will still find some way to say that there are inequities in the healthcare system, and somehow it's the white man's fault that they're getting this virus. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.